We've just come through the Thanksgiving season, and at Thanksgiving time, we're always thankful for many things that we have. So many times, our thankfulness is usually centered on the things that we have. Today, we want to think about something even more important than the material things that we have that we should be thankful for, and that's for what we have in Christ, the salvation that we have, to know that our sins are forgiven and that we're going to go to heaven when we leave this earth. So today we want to think on salvation. In Psalm 40, verse 10, we read, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Notice that that David said, I have declared thy righteousness and thy salvation. Now, this is one of the messianic psalms, and even though it was written by David, yet it was as if Jesus was speaking the words himself. In verse 6 of Psalm 40, he said, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. And then in verse 7, he said, lo, I come. And verse 8, he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And in verse 10, he says, 9, he says, I have preached righteousness. And verse 10, he said, I have declared thy salvation. Now, Jesus declared salvation. And not only that, he provided salvation. And Jesus is our salvation if we have personally placed our trust in him. In John chapter 14, verse 6, John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man, notice he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is salvation in none other. We must be saved through the name of Jesus, by trusting him, or we won't be saved at all. Now notice the word must used in both John 3 and Acts 4, and that word implies it is a very urgent need. Now what happens if a person does not what happens if a person doesn't go to heaven? Well, in John chapter 3, the last part of verse 16 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if we aren't going to heaven, if we don't know Jesus as our Savior, then we're going to perish. And John 3:18 says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So if we don't believe in Jesus, if we haven't trusted him as our Savior, then we're condemned. We will perish for all eternity. In Luke chapter 16, verses 22 to 23, we read this. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in, now notice, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. So Jesus said we'll perish if we don't know Christ, and we'll be in torment all of our life. Salvation is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, then you have salvation. But if you don't have the Lord Jesus in your heart, then you don't have salvation. Now, we want to look at some of the aspects of the salvation that Jesus declared. First of all, it is an urgent need. It is an urgent need. In John 3, Jesus talked to a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a very religious man, yet he was filled with many questions. As Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he made some astounding statements. In John chapter 3, verse 3, we read, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of water, that's physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's spiritual birth, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In both statements, he began with the words, verily, verily, or truly, truly. That's a double emphasis, and it's means to be doubly assured of this truth. Now, except or unless you're born again, you cannot enter God's kingdom. You cannot go to heaven. In other words, Jesus said, you must be born a second time again, or you cannot go to heaven. There is absolutely no other way to get to heaven. Now, it's either heaven or hell. We either realize our need of salvation and go to heaven, or the Bible says we're going to go to perish in hell forever. The Bible says we must be born a second time by receiving Christ. And then secondly, it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. There are two basic lines of teaching concerning obtaining salvation. The most popular in our world is that we must work for it. But the Bible teaches that we must accept it. Those two lines of teaching are summed up in one familiar portion of Scripture, and we read that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now notice, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many churches teach that we must do a lot of good works, and at the end of life, all of our works will, so to speak, will be placed on a scale by God. And if our good works outnumber our bad works, then we will be accepted in the heaven. Thus, many church people are trying to fill their life with good works by obeying their parents, by cheerfully doing their chores and responsibilities, by helping other people, that by joining some church, by being baptized, by giving money to their church or charity, or by faithfully serving in their church. Now, these things are important, but in themselves, that won't obtain salvation. Jesus told people just like this, that they will one day stand before God. Now notice in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Salvation is not something that is earned. Is not something that needs to be earned, but rather it's a gift that needs to be received. In Romans 6, the last part of verse 23, it says this: the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, when we offer someone a gift, we don't require that they pay us for it, or work so many hours for it, or conduct themselves in a certain manner before we will get the gift from them. No. It then ceases to be a gift and becomes something that they have earned if they have to work for it. In Romans 4, verses 4 and 5, we read, now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now that leads us to the next point. Salvation is gained by a decision. It's a decision that we must make. Back in John chapter 1, verse 12, we read this. John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice he said, as many as received him, we must accept the gift. Romans 4, 5 says, to him that believeth, and to him that believeth on him, his faith is counted for righteousness. So he says, must believe and have faith. And both words, believe and faith, are the same word. Scripture text in Acts chapter 16:31 says that Paul told the Philippian jailer when questioned, when he received the question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So you must be a believer. Now add to that what Jesus told his disciples just before he ascended into heaven in Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Now, what does all of this mean? How do you put this all together? Well, when John wrote John 1:12 that they were to receive him, they knew what he meant. And when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Whosoever believeth," Nicodemus knew what he meant. And when Jesus said that repentance unto the remission of sins should be preached, the disciples knew exactly what Jesus meant. And when Paul said to the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," he knew what Paul meant. The problem today is that there are too many people who read these verses, who listen to sermons and read books that don't know what it means, that just doesn't know what this all means. And there are multitudes of religious people today who say, "I believe in Christ." Yet when they are questioned further, they are trusting in their baptism or their church membership or some other work or deed that they have said. And that's not what the scripture teaches. There are those who say, "Just believe." Repentance or receiving or praying have nothing to do with it. Just believe. When we lived down in southern Iowa, and I was a pastor down there, I heard a popular radio preacher on a station down there that said repeatedly, "You just believe. Just read your Bible, seek the Lord, and one day you will realize that you believe, that you're really saved." But that's not what Jesus and the apostles meant. Neither is there any discrepancy between the use of the words believe, receive, faith, repent concerning salvation. It is a conscious decision that we must make. Jesus said to preach repentance. Repentance simply means a change of direction or a turnaround. You see, a sinner is walking in his sin away from God. And through the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he realizes that he's a sinner, that he's headed for hell, and he must turn from his sin, and he must turn to the Lord for his eternal salvation. To believe means, "I place my trust in you. Lord, I need a Savior, and I place my trust in you for my eternal salvation." The word receive means, "Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior, and I accept him for my eternal salvation." You see, it's a decision that we make. It's a decision that we make in our heart, whether we do it silently in our heart or pray audibly with our voice. If we mean it in our heart, it makes no difference. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The publican cried, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he went home justified, declared righteous. And the thief on the cross, who was crucified beside Jesus, cried out, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me. If you are lost in your sin, headed for a Christless eternity in hell, you need to realize that you're a sinner, that you're condemned for hell, and that Jesus died for your sin and wants to save you. If you realize that and want your sin forgiven and want Jesus to be your Savior, then you must make a decision and place your trust in Him. And you need to do it right away. You need to say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Please forgive all my sin. I receive Jesus into my heart and life as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me and saving me right now. Amen. If there's any listening to this that just made that decision, then your sins are forgiven and you have eternal life and you're headed for heaven. And the rest of us that have already made that decision, we need to be thankful for that above everything else. We need to thank God that when we received Jesus as our Savior, He forgave all of our sin. He washed them away in His shed blood, and He gave us eternal life. And when we leave this life, we're going to heaven. That's the most important thing that we should be thankful during this Thanksgiving season. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we've had in your word. And thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to come to earth and to die on the cross for our sin in order that our sin might be paid for and that we might be able to confess our sin and receive Jesus as our Savior and know that we have eternal life and that we're going to heaven when we leave this life. Thank you for providing salvation. And Lord, though we need to be thankful for the things that we have that you have given us, above everything else, we need to be thankful for salvation in Christ. We thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.